Hello and a warm welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. Over the next hour, we'll try our very best to arm you with all of the insight and knowledge ahead of another exciting game week of top-class football. Joining myself, Jack Brief, today, I'm delighted to welcome Aaron Ashley and Bobby Jackson from The Racing Post Sport Desk, as well as Carl Monaghan from our sponsors, Paddy Power. Gents, great to have you along once again. Another frantic game week to get through, and the action starts this evening with Arsenal taking on Crystal Palace. We'll briefly get through this one because I know a lot of our listeners might not be able to listen to the full podcast before this game kicks off. Carl, a warm welcome to the show. Let's kick things off with the prices and your selection for this game.
Yeah, well, it's great to be here. The prices on this one, well, Arsenal are 8-13, Crystal Palace 9-2, and the draw is 27-10. And on looking at this one, I think Willie Zaha might have something to say about this match.
Good stuff. In what way? Are we thinking goals? Are we thinking
assists? Yeah, I'm thinking goals. His quotes come out recently. He was really disappointed that they signed Pepe over him, and he had a gentleman's agreement with Emery to sign, and I think it broke his heart. And he scored two against United, didn't he, on week two in the season, and he had lots of revenge going through his veins that day as well. I think there'll be a little bit of that. I fancy Arsenal to win the game, but I definitely fancy Zaha in front of the cameras to do something. First goal 8-1, anytime 3-1. I think Zaha will leave his mark on the game, but I fancy an Arsenal win.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah, he's never going quietly, is he, Zaha? Aaron, I think the fascinating thing about this one, although, you know, Arsenal's form over the past few weeks has been much improved, they still only sit a point above Crystal Palace in the Premier League table. Arsenal 11th, Crystal Palace 13th, Leeds United in the middle there, separating them. How do we see this one going?
This is an interesting one, Jack, because both teams have actually scored in 10 of the last 12 meetings between the sides, but I just can't see how that trend is going to continue. Since that win at United earlier in the season, Palace have scored in just three of the last seven away games. Those goals came on trips to Fulham, West Brom and West Ham. And we know how Roy Hodgson's going to set up. He's going to set up to frustrate and he's going to try and use Zaha and Eze on the break. Arsenal have improved massively in recent weeks. It's almost come from nowhere. You couldn't see it happening. They've won three straight, and I think they'll have enough to see this out here. So I'm going to go Arsenal to win and under 3.5 goals because I can't see too many goals.
Okay, Bobby. So we've got two of our panelists going for the Arsenal win so far, but Aaron's just mentioned two players there in Zaha and Eze. I think people are really starting to take note, especially of Eze now. Of course, he had a wonderful season at QPR last time out, got his move, starting to really put in some performances. Will Arsenal struggle to deal with them too?
I think they'll have their number in this game. For me, I believe that Arsenal have got enough. You look at that form that they're on at the moment, three wins in a row, as Aaron says, and I expect them to go and make that four in this game. Of course, Crystal Palace are going to be a threat on the counter, but I just believe that Arsenal will have too many tools for them and go through and get all 3 points in this game. I've been looking at Lacazette to get on the score sheet in this match. He's found form of late. He scored in each of the first three games of the season. Then to score in the following eight that he played in, but he scored in each of his last three again. He's got four in the last three games, actually. So he looks a good bet for me. 10-3 first goal scorer.
Okay, let's get into Saturday's action then. No Premier League football on the Friday evening. We start at 12:30, Wolves taking on West Bromwich Albion. This one live on BT Sport. Carl, we'll come to you first. Thoughts for this?
Yeah, well, first of all, prices with Paddy Power, Wolves 8-15, 6-1 West Brom. The draw is 11-4. I think when you're having a look at Wolverhampton, I thought they were good. It was a good match against Everton the other night. They lost, but they were very competitive, and a couple of players, Ruben Neves for one, looking like they're coming back into form. Listen, when it comes to Wolves, since Raul Jimenez's head injury, Wolves have suffered. He's their main man, and they've only had two wins in their last nine games. But I did think they did well, like I said, against the Toffees, despite losing. I'd be looking at like a 1-0 win here for Wolves. And Pedro Neto is the man that stands out for me in the last 6 weeks watching Wolves. I think he's a good player. He's 4-1, around 9-2 for the first goal. But a low-scoring Wolves win for me is my instincts on this one straight off the bat.
Carl, I'm starting to feel that you're a bit of a goal scorer man in terms of your betting. Is that an angle you often like to take?
It is, and it's one that I've just got into recently. I don't know, since COVID came around, I've enjoyed the first goal scorer anytime markets just a little bit more, and I think just trying to pick one who's in a bit of form I'm enjoying it. I'm getting enjoyment from it.
Have you found them profitable as well? Because often when I try and pick out a goal scorer, I'm always struggling. But it seems like you've got it down to a fine art now.
Yeah, well, I've had a couple recently, but the any time tends to be a little bit more profitable than the first one, obviously.
Definitely. Okay, Bobby, Wolves, West Brom. Wolves struggling to kind of fire this season. They find themselves 14th in the division. West Brom also struggling on just 8 points, one win all season. Which way is this one going to go?
Yeah, I think it seems as though it's a bit of a transitional season for Wolves. They've had those couple of years in the Premier League, and I think Nuno is doing a good job of trying to bring through some youngsters. He looks as though he's got quality there, and maybe they just need moulding a little bit. So potentially this is just a season for them to get that experience. We might see them come back a little bit stronger next year. But I'm going towards Wolves in this game just due to the fact that West Brom have been so poor. Wolves and under 2.5 goals is what I like in this one. I lean towards that because Wolves are the sixth lowest scorers in the league with 19 registered. The Baggies are the third lowest scorers in the league, found in the back of the net, just 11. And they've failed to score in three of the four games since Sam Allardyce came in the Premier League. So they're really struggling in that final third with creativity. So I expect Wolves to have enough to get through this game, but I just don't think it's going to be one full of goals. Possibly a 1-0, maybe 2-0 potentially. But yeah, Wolves under 2.5 for me.
Aaron, when I watched that game between Liverpool and West Brom, one of Sam Allardyce's first games, West Brom looked so good defensively. And you were thinking, after they picked up their point there, it was going to have to be them kind of levels of performances, certainly defensively, if they were wanting to stay in this division. But that's slightly lapsed in recent weeks, hasn't it? And they're going to need to find similar kind of levels in this game.
Definitely, Jack. It's one of those against Liverpool. Your playing style kind of picks itself. You're going to have to sit deep, ride the storm, and just take your chances on the break. But against games such as Leeds and Arsenal, where they've got to look at picking up points in those games if they're going to stay up, they've got to try and play more on the front foot and more positively. This is an important game for both of these sides, and it's even more relevant given the current form. Wolves are winless in five and they're really struggling without Raul Jimenez, and West Brom 6 points adrift of safety and without a win in seven, and they've also got a little bit to prove after being dumped out by Blackpool in the FA Cup last weekend. So nobody is averaging fewer shots per game than West Brom this season, and the negative tactics of Sam Allardyce, I think that's only going to get worse. They've scored only one goal in his four games in charge, and although Wolves, they are without Jimenez and Daniel Podence, I do think they'll have enough to see this out. So I'm going to go Wolves to win and under 3.5 at even money. None of Wolves' last eight home games have featured three goals or more. So that's the one for me.
Yeah, there we go. Serious work for Big Sam to try and turn that ship around. This next game between Leeds United and Brighton is a fascinating one. Carl, would be really interested to get your thoughts on Brighton, actually. We talk about them a lot on this podcast, and I think most of our panel throughout the season has come with the opinion that they play some pretty football, but they don't convert into results. And looking at the table now, they are in a really perilous position.
Yeah, really tough spot for them. And I actually watched them last night. They really impressed me. They worked really hard last night. They played some nice stuff. And of course, like you said, they didn't get any golden eggs for their efforts at the end of it as well. So it's a real tough spot. They've no wins in their last 10 games, but they have turned into a bit of a draw special. It's a little bit like Fulham's form in the last 5 or 6 weeks. They've just been able just to put up a wall, and they're not getting beat. Now, I thought that I was going to go with Leeds until I watched last night's match, and that is the truth. But I think if they bring what they brought last night to the Etihad, I think they're well capable of getting another point at Leeds this weekend. I was just impressed with them. They were working hard, and despite not getting the results, they're playing for that manager. And yeah, I think Brighton could easily get a draw at Leeds this Saturday. I thought Leeds were dreadful, and my dad's a Leeds fan, and he was sickened with the FA Cup match against Crawley. So I think Brighton could get a point.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron, that game against Crawley, I'm sure you've watched a lot of Crawley this season. I don't think, no one expected the results, but Crawley's form certainly been on the upturn. So maybe not as surprising as some imagined. But will Brighton see this trip to Leeds as an opportunity to possibly turn that form around?
It definitely is an opportunity, Jack. You'd probably have to say Leeds are the most inconsistent side in the Premier League. Because on their day, they can beat anyone, but equally, they can lose to anyone too. And that FA Cup defeat at Crawley summed that up perfectly. And it is those flaws that just make them such a difficult betting proposition. And even money, I'd be happy to take them on, to be honest, at even money. Brighton, the problem is they don't know how to win. Eight of their 18 games this season have ended as draws, and that's probably the way I'd go again. I'd probably edge towards a draw. Brighton, they did so well at Manchester City, and they've got Bissouma back from suspension, which is just a massive boost to them. He's so crucial at retrieving the ball and alleviating the pressure. He also starts a lot of their attacks, so I think I can see him getting picked up by someone sooner rather than later. So I'm expecting a physical game, a lot of energy, and I can see the draw. And an interesting angle, I'd also go a penalty to be scored at 2-1. It's interesting that these two sides fare worst for penalties given away this season. Brighton have given away 7, Leeds given away 6. So I'd go 2-1 for a penalty to be scored as well.
Yeah, good to see that penalty angle in there. Bobby, how much more time does Graham Potter get given if this form continues? Because they're only looking downwards at the moment.
They are, and it's getting more and more concerning because you look, and obviously there have been lots of issues with games being postponed this season. Brighton are 2 points above the relegation zone, but they've played 2 games more than Fulham. They've played 2 games more than Burnley, who are just ahead of them as well by 2 points. So they find themselves in a really precarious spot right now that it's almost out of their hands, even at this early stage, and putting performances around them. As far as Graham Potter's concerned, I think he deserves to get at least until the end of the season. As everyone says, they're playing some good football. I think he just needs a bit more quality in their players that can fulfil the brief that he's putting out there. I covered the game last night, and again, I thought Brighton, a little bit like Carl, played well to a point. But the reason I'm going to go with Leeds to win this game at evens, I think a great price for them, is because they've got a similar style to City. They'll press high up the pitch, and they forced Brighton into so many mistakes last night. There were so many times Brighton had a goal kick, and within 5 seconds, the goalkeeper's having to make a save again because they're just giving away so cheaply. And I think Leeds will be up and at them, getting on the front foot, forcing those mistakes. I thought City could have won by 3 or 4 last night. They hit the bar. Sanchez had to make several good saves. So I'd be going for Leeds to win this one.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be rather sweet on that price for Leeds United. So let's take a look at the next game then. West Ham taking on Burnley. And Carl, we've talked about Graham Potter and Brighton there not being able to convert performances into results. A man that consistently converts points on the board is Sean Dyche at Burnley. They've played 2 games less than the team we've just talked about, Brighton, but above them in the division. And they continue to impress, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. He gets a tune out of those players they play for him. And just I'm a Man United fan, so I watched the match during the week, and it was just so difficult to play against Burnley. They're so physical, and it reminded me of the old Stoke under Tony Pulis. Man United were black and blue, I'd say, after the match, and it was the hardest fought 1-0 win of the season. I thought Burnley were a little bit leggy. Listen, lots of teams are leggy after the Christmas period. It's a tough, intense 3 weeks. I thought they definitely looked like they were gassing in the second half. And with West Ham just going well at the moment, I don't know. They haven't been great on the road, Burnley. They're a lot better at home. But I just think West Ham might edge this one here. We price West Ham up here at 3-4. Burnley 15-4 to win at the draw is 5-2. But I'd be going the Hammers route here.
Aaron, can you put West Ham in the Akers at odds on?
I would be happy to stick West Ham in the accurate odds on, Jack. Yeah, Burnley have improved massively in recent weeks. They struggled with injuries early on, but they're back doing what they do best under Dyche, making it difficult for you, grinding out results. But this is a quick turnaround after a tough game against United, and they are very one-dimensional. And with Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes as their forwards, their playing style kind of picks itself. They're going to play direct, into feet, a lot of long balls. And if that doesn't work and West Ham nullify that, which I think they've got the players to, then they do find it difficult to adapt. Burnley have scored more than once in only one of the last 15 league games. And they've actually scored in only one of the last 6 away league trips. And that was at 10-man Arsenal when they were going through a tough time. So I think one might be enough to nick it here for West Ham. So West Ham, yeah, 3-4, they're good for me. They've only lost 3 of the last 15 Premier League matches. And those defeats came to Liverpool, United and Chelsea.
Bobby, how have you rated West Ham this season? Because I think I've said it a couple of times throughout this season. I had West Ham down to be in a relegation scrap this season. But they've looked good. They're level on points with Chelsea in the Premier League. They're above Arsenal, above Leeds, teams who we consistently talk about. And they go up against the Burnley side here. How do we see it going?
Yeah, I, like you, thought that West Ham might struggle this season. I'd a bit of money on them to go down, actually. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case come the end of the campaign. And I suppose we're seeing a David Moyes that maybe we haven't seen for a while. We kind of saw a bit of the old Moyes when he first went to West Ham, then he lost the job, has come back and settled in again. But he had those tough spells, didn't he, at a few different clubs, United, Sociedad, Sunderland. He'd been at Everton where he was really successful. And I think maybe he's got a project again that he feels he can really get stuck into. A good nucleus of a squad there, some nice young players. And I think that they're more than capable of being in that race for potentially a European spot at the end of the season, now going completely against what I thought at the start of the campaign. And I think they'll win this game as well. West Ham to nil is what I've been looking at, 9-5. You can get that out. They've got back-to-back clean sheets in the Premier League against Southampton and Everton, two sides that have scored plenty this term. And they've got six clean sheets over the course of the campaign. Only Southampton, Aston Villa and Manchester City have all got eight. Have got a better record in terms of clean sheets. So I really do like the look of West Ham to win 2-0. You also throw into the mix that Burnley have struggled to score goals at the other end, the joint lowest scorers in the division with nine. I think it was only in stoppage time they finally registered a shot on target against Manchester United last time out. So I think it's got all the makings, this, of West Ham coming through it without conceding a goal.
Yeah, there we go. Carl, when I was playing my youth Sunday League football, I was often awarded as the most improved player, which I think was a bit of a backhanded compliment back in the day, because it basically just meant that you started the season really poor. But if we were giving a most improved team award in the Premier League this season, I think that would probably go to Fulham. They are at home to Chelsea this weekend. I think I'm right in saying that you guys over at Paddy Power paid out on Fulham to go down quite early on, but they are looking increasingly better each and every week, aren't they?
They really are, and I think Scott Parker deserves a lot of praise for that, because I mean, I didn't think they had a hope, but watching them last night, you got the sense before the equaliser last night that the equaliser was coming against Spurs. You could really feel it, and you could see Scott Parker getting animated on the touchline. Of course, he made a change that got them the equaliser in the end, but they're going real well. They're playing. I was really, really impressed by how solid they've been of late. They've got six games in their last six games, they've draws against the likes of Liverpool, Southampton, Spurs. Listen, they're a completely different outfit than the one that I watched play two or three months ago. The manager has to get the credit for it. And I tell you one thing: if he was to be able to scalp Chelsea now, this would be a really interesting game. Frank Lampard would be. In a right bit of hot water if Fulham got something from this game here. And I would be nervous if I was Frank Lampard. It is the worst time for this match to occur, because Fulham are, listen, they will take a lot of solace from last night. And with Chelsea visiting, Scott Parker will fancy it. They'll go into this one demented, I'd say. Now, this is fireworks I would definitely expect here. But I would be nervous if I was Frank Lampard for this one.
Are you going to be putting your money where your mouth is? Will you be backing Fulham in this one, or slightly more conservative?
I think there's definitely value in the draw here. Listen, I don't. They're a 6-1 shot to win the match, Fulham, and I don't think they're going to go out and shoot the lights out. But I think they're definitely capable of getting a point in this one here. And I think 16-5 is quite big on the draw. You see, I don't think those prices reflect how good Fulham were last night and how solid they've been over the last couple of weeks. So I'd be looking to cash in on that. 16-5, the draw. And just Chelsea, last time out, they beat Morecambe. The two lads in the Bundesliga got on the score sheet, and they needed to, because their confidence was rock bottom. And there's just a little bit, I'm just not convinced by Chelsea at the moment as well. We saw years ago when Spurs sold Gareth Bale and they tried to bring in a load of new players. It takes ages to gel five or six new signings, and they're suffering from that at the moment, I think. And I think Fulham could capitalise here, but they're not going to win at 6-1. I think it's unlikely. I think they could definitely get a draw at 16-5, though.
Aaron, it really is a fascinating encounter, isn't it? Because this goes either one of two ways. You've got, Chelsea, Lampard under pressure, going up against the side who are struggling down near the bottom, or, like Carl mentioned there, a Fulham side who'll be smelling blood. Which way do you see it going?
I would have to be pro Fulham here. Fulham or draw, double chance at 7-4 for me, Jack. I know Scott Parker was absolutely fuming, wasn't he, with the short notice he was given about the rescheduled fixture against Spurs. But that just shows how united he's got that team at the moment. They just got on with it, and they just put in an absolute brilliant performance and were well deserved at that point. They fully deserved it. They've now lost only one of the last seven games, and that defeat came against Manchester City. They've won at Leicester. They've held Southampton and Liverpool to draws. And although it's another quick turnaround, I just really fancy them to avoid defeat, because Chelsea, they're under pressure. I know they won at Morecambe, which they're expected to do. That's kind of it doesn't really tell you anything. But before that, they were really struggling for form. They've suffered three straight away defeats at Everton, Wolves and Arsenal, and their performances have been poor. Havertz and Werner are both struggling to hit top strides, and Fulham just look so much tighter and so much stronger defensively since Joachim Andersen has signed from Lyon, and with Anguissa back in the centre of the park as well. I really like them to avoid defeat here.
Is that where it's gone wrong for Chelsea, Bob? Is the lack of goals? Because I think, you know, as Aaron mentioned there with Havertz and Werner, we were expecting goals galore, but it hasn't quite worked like that, has it?
I mean, they haven't been delivering the goals in particular, but I mean, Chelsea as a whole have been scoring 32 times. They've found the back of the net this season. They might sit down in ninth place, but that's more goals than Villa, Southampton, Tottenham, Everton, Leicester, Man City. So they have been scoring them. It's just maybe not necessarily been coming from those sources that you would have expected that they shelled the big money out for over the course of the summer. In terms of this game, I've completely flip-flopped on it. I started out last night looking through my potential tips, and I was leaning towards Chelsea, and then I watched that game unfold with Tottenham and Fulham, and I've gone the other way with Aaron going for that Fulham double chance. I think they showed a lot of spirit. You have to take into consideration now that they have got draws against sides up at the top end of the table, Liverpool, Southampton, Spurs, and the fact that they're on home soil. I think it'll really suit them to be back there. They just seem to have a real good spirit in that squad at the moment, and I fancy Fulham to take something from this game.
Big pressure on both sides there with big possible outcomes. Excited for that one, and the panel sweet on Fulham. One more game left on Saturday, and that sees two clubs enjoying life in the Premier League, Leicester against Southampton. Carl, the prices from Paddy Power and your pick.
Yeah, so the Leicester are 5-6, Southampton are 3-1. The draw is 27-10. And listen, some matches scream 2-2 straight away. And this one just screams 2-2. I think in terms of the first goal market, I'd be going Danny Ings over Jamie Vardy. There's a bit more meat on the bone price-wise with Danny Ings in the first goal score market at 9-2. But I mean, both teams are going to score in this match, I think. And whether you fancy Leicester or Southampton, I actually fancy Leicester in the match. I think both teams to score and Leicester in the results, and both teams to score market, I swear. I'd be putting Leicester into my ACCA with both teams to score, and then I'd be going Danny Ings in the first goal market. And yeah, like I said, this one screams 2-2, doesn't it?
Well, there we go. I love the confidence on the correct score. Bobby, unlike Carl, there's one side I never like to back against, and that's Southampton. I really like the way in which they play. I think they're a solid side, and Leicester odds on, I can't be getting with. What about you?
No, I'm going for Southampton here. I can't believe the price that Southampton are that I'm seeing here for this game. It's incredible. A team that have played some fantastic football this season, and they go to a Leicester side who haven't exactly been great at home, to be honest. They've picked up just 10 of their 32 points at the King Power Stadium this season. One win in the last four at home in the league as well. I'm all over Southampton in this game. I think they look a fantastic price. They've lost just once on the road this season. That was the opening game against Crystal Palace. And I actually thought they were a little bit unlucky to not come away with at least a share of the points, if not go on and win that game against Palace. They had chances. They were denied by a few good saves. And they've also won on the last two Premier League visits to Leicester as well. So I cannot believe that Southampton, as I say, are going to go off at this type of price.
Aaron, what about you? I can remember Mark Langdon a lot last season. Despite Leicester's, converting in terms of points, he always struggled to get with them because he just didn't fancy them in terms of XG, etc. Again, this season, that they're high up in the division, they're a short price, but in this game, are you struggling to get with them here?
Yeah, this is a really difficult game to call, Jack, and team news is going to be all important because Southampton, they're without Vestergaard, and he is a threat in both boxes. And Moussa Dineppo is also out. So it'll be interesting to see if Romeo and Redmond or Adams, if they all return. I really, really struggled here. And I'd probably edge towards a draw for that reason. Southampton have drawn three of the last five league games, and the other two came against Man City and Liverpool, and were only settled by a single goal. It's going to be tight. It's going to be settled by fine margins. And Leicester, they've been so much better on the road this season. They've won only three of their eight home games this season. And yeah, I can just see this being a stalemate, Jack. The thing I would be more confident on is Danny Ings to score at any time at 6-4. He's just so efficient. He took his chance superbly against Liverpool in the 1-0 win, and he has 7 goals from 13 league starts. He's actually failed to score in only one of his last 5 Premier League away games, and he grabbed the winner here in a 2-1 win last season. So Ings at 6-4 to get on the score sheet makes appeal.
Yeah, he's always there or thereabouts, Mr. Ings, isn't he? A quick break, and then we're going to be getting into Sunday and Monday's Premier League action.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast with myself, Jack Reeve, joined alongside Aaron Ashley, Bobby Jackson and Carl Monaghan this week. Lots more of exciting football to get through. Just a quick note, there were supposed to be 4 games this Sunday. That's now down to 3. The Aston Villa against Everton game has been postponed. That now leaves Aston Villa having 5 games in 12 days from the 20th of January onwards. A very hectic schedule for Aston Villa coming up, but a week off for them this weekend. That means the first game on Sunday sees Sheffield United taking on Spurs. Carl, Sheffield United finally getting their first win of the season on the board. It took a while, but they got there eventually.
No, they did. And you could see with the celebrations at full time, just the weight of the world off their backs. This is going to be a Houdini job for Chris Wilder, though. I was having a look at the table. The 9 points from safety. But they were so good last season. They just haven't been able to convert anything into points this year. Looking at this one, I just don't. I think Spurs are just going to be too tricky for them as well. Like Jose will be absolutely seething after throwing away the 3 points to Fulham last night. And I think Spurs will really, really fancy this. And I think the likes of Kane and Son might grab a couple here, and Spurs will win this one. I do listen. I really hope this gives Sheffield United a little bit of fire. Their first win off the back. They're going to have to go and pick up points. Chris Wilder is a great man. He gets results with this group. He proved that last year, but it's tough. Total Houdini job if he's going to survive not going to the championship. I just see a bit of a Spurs backlash, and Spurs halftime full time here 7-5 is where I'd be going if truth be told.
A Paddy Power still seeing a lot of interest in the Kane to assist Son and Son to assist Kane market. I know that was incredibly popular early on in the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was really popular about a month ago as well. I think it's quieted down ever so much. I think one market that on the Paddy Power site that's gone quite popular is the shots on target market, and that usually comes up. They'll usually throw 3 players into the mix to have one or more shots on target, and definitely that's been quite popular with the punters I've been talking to of late.
Yeah, I've been finding myself delving into that market as well. Aaron, as we've mentioned, Sheffield United getting their first win of the season, but you just look at that Tottenham attack, don't you, and worry for Chris Wilder's side once again.
You definitely do, Jack, because the truth is there is a severe lack of cutting edge at Sheffield United, even against an out-of-form Newcastle who sat deep, invited pressure and had to deal with the first half sending off of Ryan Fraser. They still needed a VAR awarded penalty to make their breakthrough. They've scored just 9 times in 18 league matches and they've failed to score in 10 of those fixtures. And I don't think that bodes well against Spurs, especially a Mourinho Spurs. So I think this will be low scoring. The positive for Wilder is they are always competitive, Sheffield United. 11 of their 15 league defeats this season have been by a single goal, and 7 of those games have ended 1-0. So I'd go Spurs to win by 1 goal at 12-5, and maybe throw a couple of quid at Tottenham to win 1-0. Spurs, last 2 away trips to Burnley and West Brom, both finished 1-0. So, yeah, that's where I'd go.
Bobby, what about you?
Looking at this one, I've gone Spurs to win to nil. I just think that Sheffield United struggles in front of goal against a Tottenham side who have tended to be solid defensively. I know they conceded against Fulham last time out, but prior to that, they had three consecutive clean sheets. They went on that fine run earlier on in the season off sort of solid foundations, that the typical Jose Mourinho type side that's strong at the back and really good on the counter. Again, I think it'll be a tight game though, and that's because obviously Sheffield United are going to sit deep here. Spurs are going to have to be patient. They're going to have to try and pick that lock. They're not going to be able to get in behind on the counter as we've seen them do against other sides, where they really just sweep through and go and get their goals that way. So they're going to have to be a little bit more patient about this one. I think it's going to be hard for Sheffield United. Joint lowest scorers in the league, just 9 goals. They failed to score in 5 of their 9 at home in the Premier League as well this season. So all, to me, is steering towards a Tottenham win to nil.
Yeah, a win there for Tottenham. It shows just how tight it is up at the top there. A win would take them within touching distance of top spot. Right, here we go then. This is certainly the biggest game of the week, arguably the biggest game of the season so far. Liverpool against Manchester United. Manchester United occupying top spot after their win against Burnley in the week. They've played 17, currently on 36 points. Liverpool in second, having played the same amount of games, 3 points behind on 33 points. Carl, you mentioned earlier you were a United fan. How are the nerves?
The nerves are, yes, like going to Anfield is a place that we don't really do that well in. But this time around, I think there's a little bit more going in our favour at this particular time. First of all, not a full house at Anfield breathing down your neck means that maybe 3 or 4 players won't completely freeze. So that's straight off the bat, a little bit of a plus for United as well. But I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would be obsessed with not losing this match. And interestingly, in this match last year, Liverpool won 2-0, and Fred was the best United player on the pitch. He's been rested. He'll play on Sunday, and he'll be crucial to United's chances. Fred, I know, can't believe I'm saying it, but it is true. And listen, United in the league, they didn't take too many risks when they drew with City and they drew with Chelsea, and there won't be much risks taken here. Ole will not want to lose this match. He played 5 at the back against Liverpool at Anfield last year, and he also did it this year against Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League in the match they won 2-1. I wouldn't be surprised if he was tempted to go with 5 at the back this time round as well. So it'd be very interesting to see. But I fancy the draw here, 27-10. I think on the back of those two performances against City and Chelsea in the league, I don't think United will be taking too many risks. They'll try and be real solid. And like I said, they might go 5 at the back and they might try and contain this Liverpool side. But that's how I'm seeing it. I'm confident that we can go there and avoid defeat.
I mean, it's been a remarkable turnaround for your boys. You watch Manchester United more than any of us. What's been happening for this form to just really start to improve?
It's interesting because, first of all, the improvement came this time last year when they signed Bruno Fernandes. They just looked a little bit more dangerous. The other players reacted around Bruno Fernandes and started to up their game. Tony Martial, for example, this time last year, was a much better player on the back of Bruno coming. They got a little bit more, I think they definitely got a little bit more solid. I mentioned Fred. Fred has been one of the players that has made us look a lot better in terms of our moving the ball around. And I think Ole deserves credit for what they have. Now, they're a much better team than they were 12 months ago when they lost to Liverpool 2-0 at Anfield. Like Luke Shaw, for example. Luke Shaw has looked really good in the last month for Manchester United. And that's probably on the back of them signing Telles. And it was probably a boot in the backside, as they say, to get Shaw playing. And it's worked. But collectively, they've been a lot better. I mean, look, Eric Bailly has come in the last month and he's looked decent as well. There's lots going for them. I think quality-wise, they're probably just a little bit short in terms of Liverpool at their best. But this is a strange season. You know, Liverpool have had injuries. There's going to be no one breathing. There's going to be an empty cup. You know, there's a huge... We're going here at top of the league. There's a huge opportunity to take advantage of these mad times. And, you know, game on. I'm really looking forward to Sunday as well. But I do have massive respect for Liverpool as well. I thought when Spurs went to Anfield there about a month ago, when they fancied and they had the bit between their teeth, I thought Liverpool responded really well and obviously beat them and reminded everyone. Just you don't win titles on a whim. You actually have to be really good to win them. So that performance against Spurs, you know, if Liverpool turn up like that, we might be in a bit of trouble. But I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is not going to take too many risks here. And I think United avoiding defeat With the belief that has come with the results in the last 3 weeks, I think it's definitely a possibility at 27-10 the draw.
Yeah, there we go. Aaron, I mean, you look at Liverpool's recent Premier League form and it's incredible. A 1-0 defeat to Southampton, a 0-0 draw against Newcastle, a 1-1 draw against West Brom. So one goal scored in their past three Premier League matches. And then the game before that, they thrashed Crystal Palace 7-0. I mean, what Liverpool are going to turn up here?
Yeah, that's the question, Jack, isn't it? I mean, a lot's been made about their injuries and their defensive injuries, but to be honest, the bigger problem is the goals. The goals have dried up from Salah and Mane, and when those two aren't scoring, that's the problem. And I think that's the bigger reason for their dip in form. If they refine their top form, I do think they'll start winning games again. I mean, it's one of those. When Liverpool are even money at home and not playing Manchester City, I just think you've got to take a chance and take a risk. They've just been so dominant at Anfield. And United, although they've been clinical on the road, 22 points from a possible 24, they've kept only one clean sheet in those 8 games and conceded first in 6. And if they concede first here, I can't see them getting back into the game. It's one of those. United are winning, but their performances probably haven't merited the points they've been picking up. And Liverpool have dropped points in only 2 of their last 34 Premier League home games. Obviously, no crowd, no cop. That is a bit of a worry. But United have failed to win on any of their last 7 trips to Big Six opponents, and they've scored just once in 5 visits to Anfield. So even money, I'd take a chance on Liverpool.
Yeah, that's the thing though, Bobby, isn't it? I mean, all the talk this season about Liverpool has been how much weaker their defence has been. And of course, that is a very valid argument. But certainly in recent games, it's been their lack of goal scoring that's been the worry. But they've got a fully fit front 3-4, haven't they?
Yeah, and I suppose that's been the surprise, really. Maybe it's a bit of fatigue settling in. I know Jurgen Klopp was making a big deal about that a few weeks back and having a few bites at different managers for their particular votes against introducing 5 substitutes. And maybe he would foreseeing this kind of fatigue maybe coming on for those attacking players. They have been very busy over the last few years, all the cup competitions they've been in, how far they've gone in Champions League and that trip across to the Club World Cup. It's been non-stop really for Liverpool due to the success that they've had. But I suppose with success, you've got to be able to try and manage your players as well as possible. And this is where Jurgen Klopp now has to earn his big money, I suppose. Looking at this game, I do fancy Liverpool though. Disregarding the run of form, I suppose, that they've maybe been on coming into this game. I really like the price that they're going off at the moment. And I think it's important to be looking at these two sides and the records that they've got against Big Six opposition this season. United have failed so far to beat Big Six opposition in the Premier League, drawn to and lost to for Liverpool. They've not lost against Big Six opposition. They've won 3 and drawn 1. They won both of their home games against Arsenal and Tottenham. And I just think that they'll have enough to win this game. I'd also be looking at maybe a penalty awarded in this match at 7-5. Always going to be a fiery match, isn't it, between these two sides. Maybe also have a look at those cards markets as well and a bit of interest in that. But these two clubs have got a bit of a reputation for being awarded penalties, should we say. United second most in the Premier League this season with 6 awarded. Liverpool have had 5 awarded in their favour. And with, as we say, the rivalry between these two sides, even though the fans aren't going to be there, to make that sort of atmosphere and rile them up further, I don't think they'll necessarily need it. So a penalty to be awarded for me looks a pretty good option too.
Yeah, big, big game that one. Looking forward to Sunday's action. And we still have one more game to get through on the Sunday. That's the late kickoff between Manchester City and Crystal Palace. Carla, I think most people had sort of written Manchester City off a few months back, but they're starting to put some form together. There was a wonderful column in the Racing Post today from Mark Langdon about Pep's just relentless nature to innovate, and he's had to do that this season with the injuries to his strikers. They find themselves in third. They're just a point behind Liverpool with a game in hand, and they're starting to put a run together, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And the fixture list looks quite favourable for them over the next 6 weeks as well. A lot of winnable games for them. But listen, they look in the last couple of weeks like a sleeping giant that's come out of a coma. They just look more themselves. And certainly in the final third, it's sparking again. I think they just have to find themselves, obviously, with he's played false nines in the last couple of matches as well. But it's just with Gundogan, Phil Foden, Kevin De Bruyne, they all look like they're chomping at the bit at the moment. And yeah, they've gone under the radar with all the talk about Liverpool and Manchester United. And they'll be happy as Larry that nobody's talking about them. But I fancy them to go out here and beat Crystal Palace. And they're going to be breathing down the neck of either Liverpool and Man United over the next couple of weeks, because the fixture list, when you look through it, there's a lot of winnable matches for City. And listen, they look themselves again. They haven't looked themselves. September, October, November, we went through it all. We were looking at them and everyone was like, they're not the same side as they were 2 years ago. And but that's probably still a true statement, but certainly there's been something different about them in the last 2 to 3 weeks. They look like they've woken up and go, here. And possibly they smell a bit of blood as well. Possibly they've looked at the league table and says, we're going to be right in the mix here.
Yeah, definitely. It's a slightly different narrative as well, Aaron, for Manchester City, isn't it? Because rarely do they go under the radar, and rarely will Pep almost be considered as a bit of an underdog. But for the majority of this season, and still now, that is the case.
Yeah, Jack. I mean, they're now if they win their game in hand, they do leapfrog Liverpool into second, and they have got really nice fixtures coming up, as Carl alluded to. But I do think this will be like a lot of Manchester City games this season. City will dominate possession. They'll pin Palace in their own half, probably pin them in their own box at times. But they struggle to create too many great goal-scoring opportunities, as they showed against Brighton last night. With Aguero injured, they are still missing a focal point, and I'm not sure Jesus is quite ready or consistent enough to be that man. So you'd imagine City'd find a breakthrough, but only one of the last 7 league games has rewarded over 2.5 backers, and I think Palace are disciplined enough to keep this one respectable. City have kept clean sheets in 11 of the last 14 games, and Palace are looking a bit more toothless than they were earlier on in the season. So City to win under 3.5 at 11-10 would be where I'd go.
Probably confident with City here as well.
Yeah, I'd also be looking at that under 2.5 market. 12 of Manchester City's 16 games this season have been under 2.5 goals. It's just a new era almost, isn't it, for Manchester City? As you say, having to adapt. I personally was a little bit surprised when Pep Guardiola signed a new contract in November. I thought that he might see through his previous deal and bring his time to an end, but looks as though he's almost been promised the opportunity to embark on a new project almost there and try to revise the side, steer them in a new direction, maybe improve his own managerial skills in the process as well. Something I think that he's done throughout his career when he's faced challenges, he's tried to adapt to that. And other managers maybe could potentially take a bit of note from that. But yeah, they've been so strong defensively, and huge credit has to go to John Stones. I think he put in another good performance last night against Brighton. He struck up a great partnership with Ruben Dias. And Merrick Laporte has had his injury issues, but even when he's been fit this season, Stones has been keeping him out of the side. I think it's only one goal conceded in the games that Dias and Stones have started together in 9 games at the moment. So, yeah, it's fantastic the way that they've gelled, and good news for England as well with John Stones going in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. One Premier League game to get through on the Monday. All of the other divisions to take a look at, and the naps still to come.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, one Premier League game to get through on the Monday then. That sees Arsenal taking on Newcastle. Carla, I think in recent weeks, the pressure surrounding Steve Bruce has intensified. Just a real lack of goals and creativity going forwards. And I think frustration amongst that supporter base is ever increasing. Another good opportunity here for Arsenal to get a win on the board.
Yeah, and I think after this match, you know, the Sharks will definitely be circling. I think he went into 4-1 from 10-1 in the last 24 hours of Paddy Power to be the top the market in the sack race, Steve Bruce. But the Newcastle players don't really look up for it. Listen, I fancy Arsenal to win tonight. So they'll go into this match on the back of another win against Newcastle. I watched a little bit of this match in the FA Cup. It wasn't great. It went to extra time, but obviously Arsenal had rested a couple of players. players for this one. Straight off the bat, I think Aubameyang, he got a goal against Newcastle in the FA Cup, didn't he? He scored against them twice, both home and away last season as well. And I think he might be one to look at in the goal markets. But Arsenal halftime, full-time, for me, looks a bit of value here in this Monday night match, Arsenal at home.
Yeah, Bobby, Monday night, 8 o'clock. Which way do we see this one going?
For Arsenal and minus one on the handicap in this one, I think Arsenal too strong for a Newcastle side that just really haven't looked any good this season. I thought they started out with mixed performances and then obviously they had the big COVID outbreak and they certainly haven't looked at the same side ever since. That they're really struggling to put in performances. Arsenal, with goals in their side starting to improve, should be able to come through this game. Minus one on the handicap has landed in two of the last three in the Premier League for Arsenal, those victories over Chelsea and West Brom. Newcastle have also got a pretty poor record at the Emirates as well. They've not scored in the last five visits to Arsenal. That's across all competitions. And minus one has come in the last two Premier League meetings between these two sides at the Emirates. So I'd fancy Arsenal in that one, 6-5.
Aaron, any hope for Newcastle here? I mean, looking at the recent performances, they're fairly dire. I think the only one you can pick out was that draw against Liverpool where they looked resolute. I think that's what you'd describe it. And if they can replicate that here, they might be in with a shout, but they're going to need to up their levels, aren't they?
Definitely, Jack. The problem is with Alan Saint-Maximin sidelined and obviously Ryan Fraser's now suspended for that double booking at Sheffield United. Wilson is just looking increasingly isolated up front and they're struggling to get bodies up to support him. And he's a proven goal scorer, Wilson. You give him a chance and he's going to score, but if he's not getting the chances because the opposition, they're not getting up the other end of the pitch enough. Newcastle have just been so negative under Bruce. I mean, they deployed a five-man defence at Sheffield United against at Bramall Lane, and that tells you all you need to know. They're just going to try and be resolute here and play for one or two chances. The problem are Arsenal have kept three straight clean sheets themselves, and with Gabriel back too, I think that only bolsters them defensively. So I'd be going Arsenal to win to nil at 11-8.
There we go then. We'll end our look ahead to the Premier League action there. Of course, there are games Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday next week. Tune into next week's podcast and we'll try and get through the games preceding them. But we'll be here all day if we're looking ahead too far. So I hope that's okay with you. Let's open the book up then and let's get into any other fancies from across the divisions. Aaron, we'll come to you. Of course, EFL action, European action, it's all going on at the moment. We're certainly not short of football. Anything else you're sweet on this week?
I've got a couple of fancies at the weekend, Jack. I've not had a massive look yet, but as of so far, I'd be going Sunderland to win at Wimbledon. It's a must-win fixture for the Black Caps. They drew 1-1 with Wimbledon only last month, but they were depleted with COVID. They still had 72% possession, and Wimbledon are winless in six and have suffered five straight defeats. So I'd go Sunderland to win there. And I'm quite keen on Norwich to also win at Cardiff. They boast the best away form in the division, the Canaries. They've won seven of their 11 games. That includes winning on trips to Borough, Stoke, Blackburn and Reading. Their only three failures on the road were at Bournemouth, Brentford and Watford, who are all promotion rivals. Cardiff are not in that bracket at the moment. They sit 15th after 22 games. They've won only four of their 11 home matches this season, with all of those wins coming against bottom half sides.
Couple of EFL fancies for Aaron then. Bobby, what about you?
Yeah, I've got one from the EFL as well and comes from League One. That's the game between Fleetwood and Portsmouth. I quite like the look of Portsmouth at 13-10. That they've looked good on the road of late. They've beaten Hull, they've beaten Ipswich, two sides that I think at the start of the season you probably would have said are going to be in that promotion race, probably alongside Portsmouth. So that's good form in the last away fixtures. And they've got the second best away record in the league as well, winning six, drawing two, and they've only lost once. They go up against a Fleetwood side that have not won in three at home and have won just once in seven home and away. So form for them is really going in the wrong direction. The other match that I've taken a look at comes from Serie A, and it's the big one, I think, this weekend, Inter Milan against Juventus. I quite like Juventus away from home, 9-5. Inter Milan's form has just taken a turn for the worst of late. They've lost They're winless in their last two, losing against Sampdoria and drawing against Roma. Juventus, they were starting to hit form now after what was a bit of a mixed start this season. That they were drawing a lot of games under Andrea Pirlo, but now they seem to be clicking a little bit more. Maybe he's getting his philosophy into the team. They've won three successive league games, and they beat leaders AC Milan not long ago as well. That was towards the start of this run. So I think going back to the San Siro to take on Inter Milan, they can go and get another victory here.
Carl, any other bets you might be having this week?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to watch that Serie A match as well. I watched Inter Milan a couple of times recently. I go along with everything Aaron has said there as well. I think Juventus will flex their muscles now and will go to the San Siro and can win that match. I think they're well worth considering. I had another quick look at, and there was two teams that caught the eye in terms of building maybe an ACA in the championship, but a fancy Derby County against Rotherham. And I also liked the look of QPR at home to Wickham as well. And like I said, Juventus. So they were the other three that had just caught the eye over the last 24 hours. But I haven't crunched any stats or numbers on them. But there were definitely three that I liked the look of.
Great stuff. Right, time for the naps then.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, that part of the show where our three panellists give their strongest bet of the week. We'll put them into an enhanced treble on the Paddy Power website and hopefully find you a winner. Aaron, we'll start with your nap.
Accrington at home to Gillingham for me, Jack. John Coleman's men, they're absolutely flying. They're up to sixth in the table. They're only 5 points off second because they've got three games in hand. They've actually only lost one of their last 11 games. And they bounced back to form, having had 3 weeks off due to a COVID-19 outbreak with a 2-0 win at Charlton last weekend. They should be too good for Gillingham. They beat Gillingham away in mid-December. And Gillingham are really, really struggling for form. They head to the Crown Ground on a run of three straight defeats. And that includes defeats at Northampton and Plymouth. And they also lost 1-0 at home to Rock Bottom Burton last time out.
It's worth noting as well, Aaron, isn't it? Especially in League One and League Two, it's almost worth drawing up a points per game table because the likes of Accrington, the likes of Ipswich Town have so many games in hand on other teams.
Definitely, Jack. Yeah, and that's going to be a case for the rest of the season as well. And the fixture pile-up might get on top of them later on in the season. But at the moment, they're fresh and, yeah, I'd fancy them to win.
OK, so Accrington Stanley the first in the treble. Bobby, add a second.
I'm going for Leeds. I spoke about them a little bit earlier on and the fact that I think stylistically the game against Brighton at Elland Road really suits them. Leeds, a high-pressing side, that they'll be forcing the mistakes from Brighton. Expect them to pounce on those mistakes and desperate to try and bounce back as well from that disappointment against Crawley in the FA Cup. So for me, Leeds have to go into the nap.
Leeds are in the treble. And Carl, you can finish this week's treble off.
Yeah, well, you might think I need a straight jacket put on me here, but my nap is the draw in the Liverpool-Man United match. I'm confident about Man United's ability to go there and avoid defeat. I think the fixture comes at a good time. It's a good time to play Liverpool for us as well, with the forward line not exactly firing. And just Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will be obsessed with not losing this match. They won't take too many risks. They'll be real solid. And I can tell you, Jurgen Klopp won't want to lose it either as well, and they might just cancel each other out. So my nap is the 27-10. Shot the draw here in the biggie on Sunday.
Brilliant. That's going to make that treble a really nice price this week. Just to confirm that, that's Accrington Stanley, Leeds United, and draw in the Liverpool versus Manchester United game. Lots of football. Hopefully we've got through it the best we can. A big thank you to Aaron, Bobby and Carl for all of their insight this week. If you are following the gents' bets or having a bet yourself, please remember to gamble within your means and gamble responsibly. We'll be back next week for another football postcast. Stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.